on 1278 and 1530 AM on DAB Digital Radio and online at pulse2.co.uk. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show with Aaron the Power Bauer, the Reggae Warrior, Ross Peltier, the Italian Stallion, or Mini, Elliot Minchella, and Robbie Hunter Paul.
Kia ora and g'day and welcome to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show live here at Pulse 2 Studios. And it's been a big weekend, not for these two boys from the Bradford Bulls over here to my right, Ross and Elliot, because they've had their feet out. They've been smoking cigars all weekend long. They've had nothing to do other than get suntans. How's it been, boys? Big weekend?
I've been decorating all the time, so I've just really? Been painting.
You mean decorating your arm?
No.
We'll get a photo and we'll... Look, just show it live on camera. Just show the you got a little bit of ink live on Twitter. Yeah. You've seen it here first. So explain it. So yeah, you got to understand, Ross. So what we're talking about here is Ross got a brand new tattoo. But I come from a culture where the marks that you put on your body, i.e. your tattoos, they tell a life story, a journey. Yeah. You kind of got to earn them.
Yeah.
What's your story?
Life, innit? You got to get to the top of a mountain.
Oh, I love it. So it's a mountain. It's got some forest in the foreground, mountain in the background, and that is your life's journey.
Yep.
So as you get older, your narrative becomes stronger. It starts to grow around your arm, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I like that.
And then you got Minnie next year. He's got a lion, a lady who's exhaling some vape. And to be honest, he's just using it as an opportunity to clench, tense his muscles, isn't he? He's getting his bicep curl on. Aaron, you got any ink on your bud?
Obviously not. No.
Why don't you wear yours on the inside, don't you?
I just don't. No. I don't do it. Look at me.
Have you ever considered getting any ink on your body?
No. Do I look like the kind of guy who has tattoos, Robbie?
I don't know. What is the type of guy that has tattoos? I mean, you're a creative. You're a journalist. A lot of creatives like to walk down their pathway.
I ain't got the physique to show off like these lads, have I? Little weedy arms.
Well, when you come start working out with me down at Hub 26, you know what I mean?
Plug.
You're going to get that body out there. Get massive.
Rugby league chat.
Rugby league chat, that's what we're talking. What a big weekend, though. You guys had the weekend off, obviously. Challenge Cup over across the course of the weekend. You guys had the weekend to yourselves. What did you get up to? Well, actually, did you get the weekend off? What's the week been like? Because I know when we've been knocked out of the cup before, all you do is end up getting flogged.
Yeah, we did. Last week we got it quite tough. There were fitness testing going on. We went down to...
you love that stuff, eh, Ross? You're built for that.
Funnily enough, I had an injury that pulled me out of that testing.
Yes.
I mean, yes. Yeah. But we had a tough day. We did.
Was it the hamstring or was it the heart to lift?
I got an infection in my leg.
Did you really?
Yeah, I've still got it.
Wash your leg. Yeah. Don't just go straight off the training pitch and straight into bed.
Yeah, I did all kickboxing and wrestling and that was good though. But it was tough.
Yeah. So then we went down to a kickboxing gym, Thai kickboxing or something like that. It was quite tough. Something different. It was good to get everyone together and that.
Oh, you actually did kickboxing. Where was the gym?
It was in Morley.
I think it's Brain and Brawn Fitness in Morley.
All right. Any MMA stuff? And you'd get down on the mat and do any of that? I mean, you do enough wrestling, don't you?
Well, our conditioner, Adam, he's a wrestler, but that's what he does. He gets us doing a lot of wrestling.
That's got to be terrible, man.
Yeah.
You're now into my zone. And does he get on there with you and start,
come on,
big boys.
He's choked me out a few times. He's choked me out a few times,
Yeah. You know, he used to do wrestle a lot when he was a young fella. Was Malcolm Alka, and for some reason, when I went to play for Salford, he had this fascination with wrestling with me, and it was horrible, absolutely horrible, because he grabs your wrists and all those locks, and there's just nothing you can do. I actually transgressed back to being an 11-year-old boy. My brother was black belt in Taekwondo, and he'd come up to me and like bash me, and when I'd see the red mist and just start swinging haymakers, he'd grab me, put me in a lock, and then go, "Now calm down." "Now calm down." You know what I mean? Someone pushes you to the red mist, and then you get put in a lock that you can't move out of and told to calm down. And that's what Malk used to do to me, other than I was never in the red mist with him, because it was just, it would have been pointless trying to fight against Henry as well. So anyway, you got flogged.
Yeah, we got flogged this week.
Any time off?
Yeah, we had from Friday to Tuesday off. Well, we're so back in on Tuesday. We train on Tuesday, yeah.
So you had Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday off.
Yep.
Yeah. Four-day stretch.
Yeah.
Lifestyles of a rich and famous,
Aaron.
Half
the lads were on holiday. I never went nowhere.
Aaron had to work Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Yeah. Bang, 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 bang. And it was hot. Hot in those stands.
Hot, tough work.
Good work, though, wouldn't it? How enjoyable? Did you guys catch many of the Challenge Cup games?
Well, yeah, I went into a bar in London, and you'll never believe it. I was sat in Covent Garden, walked into this bar, and it was Challenge Cup on, Warrington against Wigan. I saw it, and I turned around, and I am not watching rugby on my weekend off. So I have not, I've not watched any rugby, to be honest with you.
No, it sounds like that's your missus talking. Not watching.
She wanted to watch it.
And to be honest, I said it before in the canteen, I want to be your missus. She gets treated so much. You take her everywhere. Italy, the United States, taking her down to London. You only got a window of 2 days, and you're down to London as well. I want her life.
Just a great bloke, you see. Great bloke.
Mr. Loverman. You got to understand, Elliot, this puts pressure on us.
We're failing miserably in our relationships. Last place I took was like Whitby, I think.
What's wrong with Whitby?
No, but that's as far as she goes with me. Like.
Especially on the beautiful sunny days we've had. Yeah. So anyway, Aaron, the games, how did you find them? I mean, for me, the Huddersfield versus Catalan just seemed a bit dead.
Yeah, the first two were a bit underwhelming, probably, weren't they? And then I thought the second two were really good. Sunday was by far the best. And they probably got better as the weekend went on, to be fair. Thursday was atrocious. Friday was okay. I mean, the red card, he had to go. But if he doesn't, it's probably quite a good game, that, because we're really giving it to Leeds in that first 10 minutes.
And Matauti is an exceptional player as well, especially carrying the ball.
Yeah, really good. But, look, you can't drop someone on the neck like that and stay on the field, can you? It's a red card. There's no intent. There's no malice. That's why I'm a bit surprised he's got a bigger ban as what he has, because he got the red card after 7 or 8 minutes. So the damage he's done there, really, for his team and for himself. So I thought they might have been a little bit more lenient with the ban. But, yeah, Leeds stormed through in the end, didn't they?
Let's fast forward 2 days. 3 yellow cards given against Hull FC in that match. How did you see those? I am curious.
Yeah, the Houghton one, I wasn't too sure about.
No, I'm not having it. No, not a yellow card.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that one. The Washbrook one, where he got allegedly using the knees, I just don't think it was completely and utterly
clear. It's not
clear
a yellow card.
Yeah, it's probably a penalty.
It's a penalty, definitely. Yeah. It's a little bit of, Lou McCarthy Scarbrook's on the ground, and he's known for this type of stuff, thrashing out and carrying on. And when your limbs are flailing about and you cop one of those in the cheek, that it's annoying. You want to hit him, don't you? But it's kind of covered as a, I'm just trying to get up to play the ball, sir. Yeah. But they are annoying. So I just thought, when the game was swinging in a certain direction and the momentum of the game was just so exciting, it was broken up.
Too many referrals as well.
Let's have a look up top.
Decisive. Yeah, with what they're trying to do. This dangerous contact one now, where players, if it's on TV, seem to be staying down more and more often. So it goes up and has a look. I mean, if I forget who the St. Helens player was, it Richardson. If Richardson gets straight back up, probably nothing happens there. And Richardson goes on and plays the rest of the game. I get that there's probably odd occasions where it actually is quite bad and the players are really hurt, but it really is creeping into the game. And you see more and more ex-players talk about it now, and not just players from 30 years ago. So you could maybe say to them, oh, the game's moved on since then. Players like Jamie Peacock and Chris Foreman, who've been playing in the last 5 or 6 years and know the game and know what the game's all about in this day and age. I think there's a bit too much play acting going on now and I'm not really liking it.
What do you guys think about it? You guys are still playing the game, you're delivering the game?
It's trickled down to League One level.
It's not even on TV.
You'll put kick pressure on a half and he'll dive and you won't even touch him and he'll be trying to milk a penalty. I think it's a problem with halfbacks. It's all backs. You never see a forward pretending to be injured.
That is not true. That is not true. You are having forwards with the gamesmanship as well. Any shot around the head, they're staying down.
Nah.
And especially when it's televised, like what Aaron's saying. Especially when it's televised, they're staying down, and it drives me crazy. And I reckon, so my solution is, if you stay down for longer than half a second and start rolling about, you must go off for an HIA. Compulsory. Now, this is what will happen. Your coach will start questioning. If you're in there having talking to a doctor, answering stupid questions, and not out on the field doing your job, you're going to be asked questions by your coach. Equally, if you are in Disneyland, the doctor will sort you out. So it covers both the welfare as well as the gamesmanship. If anyone goes down holding their head, then they should go.
Yeah, I agree.
And the referee makes the call. Yeah. If you're rolling about and, there's a question mark, yep, straight off.
Mm.
Solves the problem, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's honesty, isn't it? I've had them where, like, I've been winded and I was, like, laid on the floor and, you know, I've got my hooker shouting at me to get up and play ball. I just couldn't get up. But, like, yeah, there's some where it's honesty, I think.
Well, like, I come through the system with, like, Brian Mack and it was complete opposite. It was, like, to show no injury, show no
weakness.
All that body language. If you're a student defensive line and you're busted, you look like you're not busted. Just everything complete opposite.
And that's a knock-on effect from Matthew Elliott's, because obviously Brian came out of his stable. Yeah. It was, if anyone get caught milking a penalty like that, you won't play the following week.
Yeah, it was like frowned upon, isn't it, in my opinion.
And I don't, I'm with all of these old fellas. I'm an old fella myself, and I'm with you guys, and we all agree it's got to go out of our game. It's stopping our game. It's slowing everything down, and that's not what the spectacle of our game is. Okay, we're going to go to a break. When we come back, we've got to address the Joel and Sam Tompkins video that's been going around, so we'll be chatting about that. We'll also be looking at how these games are taking too long, as well as looking forward to the games coming up throughout the weekend. All right, but before we do that, let's have a look at the roads.
It's all about rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse 2.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show, live in the studio with Ross Peltier, Elliot Minchella and Aaron Bauer. And we're just going to pick up from where we left off, just talking about the gamesmanship ongoing with rugby league. There's a problem that is actually creeping in, and that's time taken in these televised games. Now, there's a couple of problems here. One, it's terrible viewing. I got to say that. It's terrible viewing. But two, for the networks who pay the wages ultimately, it's delaying their programming system. And that actually has a big impact on how they're trying to do the delivery. I mean, if we think about Sunday's game, that game apparently it took 110 minutes. So they normally have about 12 minutes for halftime, a little bit of breathing space, but they had to cut halftime down just because of the stoppages in the first half. And then in the second half, it happened again. And obviously, they were looking to do the live draw of the semifinals come straight off the back of it as well. So is it too long for you guys, these stoppages that are ongoing at the moment?
Yeah, for me, obviously the televised games, I just lose a bit of interest. It doesn't keep the game flowing long enough, and I just find myself coming in and out of the games where it shouldn't be like that. I watched State of Origin today this morning, and the first stoppage wasn't until about 15 minutes in the game, and it just kept you on the edge of your seat the whole time. It was set for set, or there's no stoppages at all, and for me, that's how it should be played.
But they have also the shot clock down there as well, don't they?
Yeah, like with the dropouts and scrums, and I think that's how it should be. Because like down there, I think if you get to a scrum and stop the clock, you have to stay down, packed in the scrum.
Yeah.
Whereas over here, you get to the scrum, form it, and just walk off.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So whoever packs into the scrum, they actually got to stay in it, don't they?
Yeah.
It'd be a hard case having your whole front row and your back line. Because that's it. They're always the guys. If you think about it, who runs down and forms the scrum? It's all the quick blokes.
Yeah,
the light blokes haven't been doing any work. And then you'd have all your front rowers trailing up the back
line. If they all pack, just start the clock.
I like the sound of that. I could be out back on a scrum player.
I like that.
Roscoe Pico train out back. The flying. You're wasted, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, I'm telling you. But, yeah, like Mini says, you know, you can drift in and out of watching a game. You're interested in that. I think
that's interesting that you say that because, look, you can't get a more engaged rugby league supporter than a player.
Yeah.
And if you guys are drifting in and out, what is it just, your average Joe or someone that you're trying to get interested in the sport?
I think what rugby league prides itself of is non-stop action, better to watch than other sports. And I think when I've watched rugby union, they've quickened it up a lot. They've took a lot of steps to quicken up the game now, and that's getting quite enjoyable to watch. And if we're trying to compete for viewers, I think we need to keep it going. And I think these ideas are a good idea.
And I think the refereeing down under were also getting under a lot of, they were coming under a lot of pressure from the supporter base, saying that you guys are refereeing to the letter of the law too much. And referees are like, well, this is the law of the game, and this is what we have to do. And they were fighting their corner. But I think they're forgetting that the core principle of the game is to entertain. Without the entertainment, there's no product. Without the product, there's no professional referees, no professional players. There isn't a televised sport without the product. The product must come first.
Yeah, I agree.
I think, like, if you watch the Cass St. Helens game of the day, people complain with Chris Kendall won't go into video ref enough, or he won't look at it enough. We complain if we don't. We complain if we do. So, you know, whatever we do, we've got to stick to it.
Yeah. But on that, though, it was brilliant to watch.
Exactly.
Yeah, we cracked
but
on.
But people complained about it afterwards. So
yeah, they were all from Cass.
They got it right, though, didn't they? Exactly. Everyone was complaining about him not going to the screen for the barber try because they thought the ball had gone forward off Swift, but it came off his leg. So, we've asked.
The ball went forward off his body and then came off his leg backwards. That's what I saw.
It came off his leg. We begged for refs to make decisions, and they are. So
yeah,
I'm
but
all
that,
for
what
it.
About, what was it, the McMeekin try?
I'm not really bothered. Refs make mistakes, don't
they? Yes, and I agree. Look, that's that. We spoke about it last week. I'm with you. And maybe that should be a part of it. This, look, why does reality TV go so well in this country? Why does it go so well for not just in this country, around the world? It's because it's unpredictable. Sometimes it's unfair. Sometimes it doesn't work out and it's not right, but it gives you something to talk about around the water cooler the next day. And that's part of being that fandom, and that's what's absolutely brilliant. And maybe by referring to the video referee too much, we're taking that danger, that risk away.
I won't watch a Super League game if I want working, I don't think. I would probably start watching it, but I think I'd find it really easy to switch over. I've been on a couple of occasions this year where I've had the odd Friday night off and not been at a game, been in the pub. I've just found it very easy to not be glued to the TV and watch it and just end up talking about something completely different. Ross made a point about rugby union. I'd never say this on Twitter because I'd get destroyed, but I watched the Premiership final the other week, Exeter against Saracens. It was a great game. They're catching us up in terms of the speed and the style, the two things we've got that rugby union doesn't have. They're really catching us up now. It's a lot more fast-paced. And if
they still
that,
kick it out too much, though. That's where they're always going to fall down. Until they fix that rule where they can kick the ball out on the 4 on the 22.
They do, but they are. It's certainly an easier game to watch than it was a few years ago. And there's just too many stoppages in rugby
You know what
league
they
now.
Should do in rugby union? I've got a solution for them. And this is a rugby league show, but we'll say it anyway. Remove the 22 kick back to your 10-metre line.
Yeah.
Then it opens up the game.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Because if you kick within your 22 and it goes out full, then you line up from there. But if you kick outside 22, it's
and
got
that's why they play safety, and it's a safety thing, but you take that away.
But what I was saying is
back
like,
to rugby league.
We have video refs on televised games, which are all supposed to be the best games that are going on this week. And we're killing the best games, which is the best spectacle of the week. It don't get rolled out over other games. So, do you know, we have to rely on referees to make the calls on all the other Super League games that aren't on TV.
Yeah. But linesmen having to work with...
But then the ones on TV, you know...
What's their job?
We're killing it. So, linesman? You either have it at every game or change the system.
No, I agree. The linesman's job is to stand next to the wingers and keep them
nothing.
Company.
Talk to the wingers.
Talk to the wingers. Ask them about what they're up to that weekend.
Oh, this weather's nice. Having a great day.
To talk through with Ethan Ryan. So, how have you been working on that Superman-style dive?
Should ask me, not Ethan.
Oh, that's it. Elliot's got it down pat. So, I think we all agree that it's... The game needs to speed up, and I think the referees and how we adjudicate the game is at the heart of that. There are some elements of the game that we can also add to it, and that's adding shot clocks to the games as well. I can't think of a Super League club that doesn't have a digital clock. Couldn't add that to their game. Yeah. Even the referee could just look at his watch and say, all right, you got 30 seconds, boys. 20 seconds, boys, just as a part of the game, just to keep things moving and keep the game flowing, keep the ball in flow, because even if it wasn't 110 minutes, it wasn't that far away, and that's ridiculous. We're an 80-minute game, 90 minutes with the half time. So that's absolutely ridiculous. Just quickly, though, just finish off this segment, because the next segment we're gonna go to their very volatile talking point about the Tompkins brothers. Dennis Betts. Got the chop, yeah, got the bullet.
Got the tin tech, yeah. Probably the right time. I think Widnes, I worried for him before he left. I mean, that's not to say Franny's going to come in and immediately keep them up, but he did a good job at Bradford 4 years ago under really tough circumstances. He's definitely overdue another crack. He's notorious
really
for getting the best out of people.
Talented coach,
very
really
well
skillful.
Very meticulous. So I'm looking forward to seeing what changes he makes to them with, you know, having the seniority and being able to control what's going on. They've got 5 away games in a row to start up, though, starting with Catalans on Saturday. I mean, if they want to give themselves any chance, I mean, we're 15, 16 games in now, aren't we? So there's only 7 or 8 before the split. So if they lose on Saturday to Catalans, they're probably going to be looking at being in the 8.
Well, look, just quickly, we're just running out of time, but just quickly, do we not think that his focus should really be about the Super 8s now? It's about creating culture and a winning mentality and focusing on, once they hit that, hitting the best form as possible for survival?
Yeah, but I probably internally he'll think that, but I don't think he'll come in and tell the players on his first session with them that, look, we're in the bottom 4. He's got to try and get a little bit of belief, because you've seen it with Huddersfield. If you do get on a little bit of a run, Huddersfield only won 3 in a row and they're 8th. So it is possible, if you can get a bit of momentum quickly, you'll be in the 8.
All right. Okay, so we're going to take a break now. When we come back, when we addressing that very, like I said before, volatile topic, and that is the Tompkins brothers. So it's been going on over the last 5 days. The video hit the social media platforms on Saturday night, and it's been what everyone's been talking about for the last 5 days. So we'll address it also. So stick with us right here on the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 2. On 1278 and 1530 AM on DAB Digital Radio and online at pulse2.co.uk. It's all about rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 2.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live in the studio with the reggae warrior Ross Peltier, the Italian Salian Elliot Minchella, and the power that is Aaron Bauer. All right, boys, let's talk about the Joel and Sam Tompkins video fiasco that's been going on since Saturday evening. Aaron, why don't you give us the breakdown on how it all comes together, you know, being a trained member of the media, so we don't make ourselves liable for anything. It's such a sensitive topic.
That
it has to be treated with real respect, and obviously...
So
we ask you to do it, yeah. I don't want to do it because I'm just scared, and these two aren't media trained like you are, so...
I thought it was a wind-up on Saturday night. My phone started going crazy when I got back from the Warrington game, getting ready to go to the pub. Hundreds of messages from people, have you seen this video, have you seen this video? So I watched it. I had to watch it 2 or 3 times to get a grasp on it. I thought, this can't be real, this can't be them.
So this is described for anyone at home who's not seen it.
So about
if you're not seen it, you're probably not on social media.
Yeah, about 5 weeks ago... a barmaid in a bar in Wigan videoed Joel and Sam basically refusing to leave a bar. And then when they refused to leave, it got a little bit hostile and a little bit ugly. Joel tried to go behind the bar, to which he was told to get back. And then Joel in particular started getting a little bit abusive towards the bar staff and a couple of the punters that were in there. That's basically it, without going into specifics and saying what was actually said. But it wasn't a good look for either of them. By the time Monday afternoon had come around, this was Saturday night it came out, by the time Monday afternoon had come around, Joel's been stood down for 4 weeks because he was by far the more inebriated of the two and by far the more aggressive of the two.
And more vocal.
Yeah, more vocal. Sam's been fined £5,000, but he's free to play tomorrow night at Wakefield. Joel's issued an apology. A second video has been published by the Tompkins brothers. Obviously, they're just keen to get the whole story out there before anyone else got hold of it. With Joel, again, being pretty abusive towards bar staff, and it's just not a good look for either of them. I don't buy this whole rugby league's got a problem thing, because I've been in pubs and bars, and I see stuff like that most weekends, and not just in Bradford. I've been to London, I've been abroad, I've seen stuff like that everywhere. So it's not a rugby league thing. It's just two guys.
It's a human thing, isn't it?
Two guys who are role models to a lot of people that have let people down, the thing we've got is that not many of us have, or certainly nobody I know that I go out with, are role models to people. But these two guys, probably the biggest mistake was going out in Wigan, I think, because everyone knows who you are in Wigan. If they'd gone into Manchester or Liverpool and that had happened, they might have got away with it. I think that was the biggest mistake, going out in Wigan. Don't excuse it by any stretch of the imagination.
And look, all the pundits that have come out and said things about it, I don't think anyone's actually excusing their behaviour, but I think what everyone's trying to say is they've seen worse. Experience worse, may have even done worse themselves. I was on Five Live on Sunday afternoon, and I was the same as you. My phone just started rattling in my pocket on Saturday evening, and I looked at it and I thought to myself, you know what? Looking at all the comments that are ongoing at the moment, it probably is pretty bad, but I've got better things to do in my private time. You know, I have seen it. I have gone back to look at, I mean, just the rush of everybody talking about it. When they asked me on Five Live, I said, look, people in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. And that's me pointing the finger at myself, because I've been intoxicated on a number of occasions and really embarrassed myself and my family. I've not done that, but, you know, I've done things that I'm not proud of. And I've seen things that shocked me as well. And I think it's important that we make sure that we're not condoning it. You know, that's out of order, and they have a responsibility, et cetera, et cetera. But like you're saying, it's not a rugby league issue. It's a society issue. How do you guys think about
it? Yeah, I mean, I've seen it, and, you know, it's one of the things, you know, as a rugby league player, you've seen a lot worse. I've seen a lot worse with my normal mates, you know. I think people forget that players are just normal people too. You know, you make mistakes in life, like, they've made a mistake. It was stupid of them. They've been fined, they've been whatever. But, you know, life goes on. I think as players, you know, you got to be wary now, because we're in a social media age that everybody's filming everything. So, like, in times gone by, a lot would have happened, but no one's going to know. Whereas now, everyone's filming stuff. So you have got to be careful. Like Aaron said, you know, going out in town you play for, you're well known. So it's a bit... But it's stupid, and they shouldn't have done it, but... You know, like we say, it's just one of them things, isn't it? It's just happened, but, yeah.
What are your thoughts, Elliot?
Yeah, I don't think I'm really in much position to start.
Glass houses, throwing stones?
Yeah, take that one. No, I agree with what you've all said. Obviously, it's wrong. If it wouldn't be wrong, then Wigan wouldn't have issued a statement and they wouldn't have been fine, would they? So, no, obviously, it's wrong, and the players, like, you know, rugby players shouldn't be doing stuff like that, and... I'm sure they don't need me to be saying all that.
I thought it was quite interesting. Alex Simmons just put a post on Twitter, I think it was last night or the night before, and absolutely got hammered off a supporter just coming out. And I don't think it was exactly the same thing. I don't think he was condoning what they were doing. He was just saying that actually... In the context of what's been done, he's seen a lot worse. A lot worse is actually going on right now as we speak.
Yeah.
I think that I think one of the harder things for us is, especially Sam, more so than Joel, but obviously the two are connected. Sam was positioned as the marquee personality for the game before he went down under. So there was a lot of investment put into him via the game, i.e. with, remember he had a show on Sky Sports, and there was a lot of alignment, you know, in that regard. And I think because he gets tied into it, that has that reflected, well, the opposite of reflected glory in that respect is reflected negativity.
Yeah, I have an issue with sometimes, and I've had disagreements with fans and stuff before. Like, Sam Tompkins, like, when everyone went mad at what Alex Simmons said, Sam Tompkins, he'll do a lot of community work. He'll be active in around Wigan, you know. Yep. He'll do so much for kids and stuff. And, you know, sometimes in life, you make a mistake and people want to, you know, judge us for doing our, and we have the luxury of doing our job for a living. But, you know, these same people will make the same mistakes in their life. It's just, it's not under a microscope, you know, because everyone makes mistakes. Everyone's going to mess up at some point. But
one thing I've seen, and this is an interesting one, redemption. One thing I learned over the course of my career, redemption is an incredible motivator. Mm-hmm. And when players do wrong, it's like the one thing that they have to to make things right again and feel that adulation and feel that love once again is to get back out on the field and just invest everything that you've got into delivering on the field. And the reality is, and there's deep-seated research, because I had a look at this when I was at university, some deep-seated research gone into fandom and supporters, and they're very, very forgiving, providing, you know, they start delivering on the field. Shouldn't, you know, should we be overlooking? I mean, let's be honest. Let's look at the number one player in the Super League right now. There's a reason why he's in the Super League, and that's because he did something wrong down under. You know, he was caught for doing, what was it, cocaine? Was it?
Yeah.
You know, a social drug. And yet we're celebrating him like he's the, you know, in some circles, like he's the next Messiah. But that's, I mean, the reaction that Wigan gave, is that over the top? Are they missing the point by actually saying, boys, get out there and prove yourself to the brand, you know, go and put it on the line, or do you agree with it?
What, the way Wigan have dealt with it?
Yeah.
They've dealt with it really well, I think. They've been really hard on him. And
really hard on Joel. Yeah. I don't think,
you could say Sam's got away with it a little bit lightly, but he didn't do anything near the level Joel was doing, did he, in either of those videos. And the interesting thing now is that Sam's all right. He's got his four-year deal at Catalans in the bag for next year. Joel's been stood down for 4 weeks. He's out of contract at the end of next season. Really, if we're being brutal.
Didn't someone say that they're reviewing whether or not...
They're reviewing his long-term future at the club. If we're being brutally honest, Joel's not been the same player since he came back from rugby union. So he's got an interesting 4 weeks now where, A, he's got to get his head right, because obviously this won't have been good for him, and it won't have been good for his family, which is the thing you sometimes forget, I guess, in all of this. Wigan will probably stand by him. But he's got to realise now that This is a massive opportunity for him to turn his career around, because I think he has flattered to deceive a little bit over the last couple of years. This could almost be a wake-up call for him now. You've seen players in the past get into trouble and they've not taken the opportunities and the second chances they've been given. It'll be remembered for a while, and as it should be, because it was a bad incident. But look, like you've just touched on, nobody really remembers what Barber did at this moment in time, do they?
Okay. We're gonna go to a break. I'm glad that we've put that to bed, because I'm sick of hearing about it, to be honest. But before we do that, let's go and have a look at what's going on in the roads.
On 1278 and 1530 AM on DAB Digital Radio and online at pulse2.co.uk. It's all about rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 2.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live in the studio with Aaron Bauer, Elliot Minchella and Ross Peltier. Boys, let's have a look at the upcoming games this weekend. Some good games on. Starts off with Wakefield Trinity versus Wigan Warriors. How do you see that one going? You know, Wakefield need to get back on the horse. They've had a week off, recharge their batteries. Wigan have had a tough couple of weeks.
Wigan win for me. I think it'll. We were talking last week, I think, when about Sean Wayne stepping down. But I think now this will just bring the lads a bit closer together, and I think there'll be a reaction this week, mate, and Wigan win.
And Sam's playing for redemption as well.
Yeah.
Sam's going to come out and kill it.
I'm disappointed when I talk about Wigan this year, you know, because I backed them to be my side to get top four.
And you backed Wakefield as well.
Yeah, I backed them. I went on about Wakefield, but yeah. You know, I can't see them winning. I think they're in a bad bit of form now, Wakey, but, you know, I can see Wigan running away with this one.
I'm backing Wakey, mate.
Ooh, there you
Wigan
go.
Wigan have got four middles out who played last week. Sutton, Tautai, Flower, and Joel Tompkins.
Oh, we didn't know these.
And the middle as well.
You
can't back up now, boys. Nice.
Wakey's
middle.
You
got to do your homework.
Big,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, some big middles, Wakefield. Yeah.
Some big middles.
England.
Yeah. That's an understatement.
Superhumans. If Paulie and people like that play how they can, I'm Wakefield. They're good at home.
Paulie's in some good form at the moment.
They're good at home. We're going to light going into this game. They're going to have to rely on... they've got Tony Club. I think the four middles will be Tony Club, Romain Navarrete, Gabe Hamlin and Callum Field. So they're skinny. So if Wakefield get in at them early on, and Wigan's line speed isn't where it should be, I think they'll get rolled, Wigan. I back Wakefield. I think they're a good side at home. They've had that blip. They won the last game. They've had 2 weeks off. Wigan got... They've been bullied on and off the field, haven't they? Their image is taking a kick in. I guess the one variable is that Sam will be out to seriously prove a point tomorrow night and show that, look, I'm not that kind of person. I'm not that kind... This isn't going to impact on the way I play. So that's a possibility, but I do think Wakefield.
Yeah, I think I'm disappointed in Wakefield's pack this year.
Yeah.
Because with the pack they've got, they should be absolutely... rolling teams from middle, and they haven't done it this year. Well, hopefully they can go out, have a week off, you know, and they'll go out against Wigan.
Why?
And
they've got
and
a problem with scrum half as well, though, haven't they? I mean, Finn's disappointed this year for the most part, and he's been dropped now, and he's not in the side. And Ryan Hampshire's going to play scrum half again tomorrow night. So, look, I'm sure Ryan Hampshire would admit himself he's not an out and out scrum half. So difficult for him. There's no Gricks as well.
Okay, well, let's have a look at something a little bit differently. Is Wakefield's pack too big? Do you know what I mean? When you go for nothing but size and you don't have that ability to have people that can do the little ugly stuff.
Yeah. And then the impact's kind of taken away then, because, you know,
that's right.
The impact. But I just think they've got a lot more to give, and I think we haven't seen the best of them. For what that reason is, I'm not sure. But, you know, I don't think they've got, you know, English isn't, he can be able to do a bit of work and that, but yeah, I don't know. They just haven't hit the form, have they?
No. All right, fast forward one night. Let's have a look at probably the game of the round. It's got to be Warrington at home to Castleford.
Yeah.
Big game.
Third v fourth. Cass have got into a bit of habit at the minute of good game, bad game. They were really good last week at Hull KR. Eden came in and played fullback and got Shenton back into the back of the three-quarter line. He was really good by all accounts. So
QLT's here now?
Yeah, he might end up playing halfback QLT because they've no Jamie Ellis, so there's only Truman there as a recognised halfback. They could put McShane to halfback, but that would disrupt the whole balance of
the
team. Yeah, it's like doesn't
work. And McShane is wasted there. It just doesn't work.
I think
he knows the plays, but he plays too far off the line. And
I think QLT will play halfback.
And it's too predictable. Mm. You know, he doesn't go all the way into the line. But that's not his fault. He's used to going into the line at hooker. Mm. And he holds, he plays hooker so well. I mean, I think we were talking about him last year as being the in-form hooker and potentially heading down under.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's going up against, look, at the end of the day, he'll be going up against someone else who's in Daryl Clark's in awesome form at the moment.
I think he's the best hooker in Super League at the minute, Daryl Clark. I really do. So much energy, so much pace, so much creativity around the ruck. He does big minutes. He only comes off for 10, 15 minutes when Patton spells him, and I don't even think he'd need that. I think the longer Clark's career goes on, I see him turning into a bit more of a 13, a bit more of a ball playing forward. He's creative, he can make things happen.
He's fast.
Yeah. I like him. And Warrington, Cass are a bit unsettled with the team and the injuries, so I think Warrington, given how good they were last week as well.
Before we hand over to the boys, look, one thing that I've experienced before, and that's when you have a massive win like you have on the weekend, and that was a big win. I mean, the way they did it, the way they went about their business, defensively, they just knew what Wigan was going to do. You know, they had Wigan worked out. Wigan only had that left side,
scrambles.
But they absolutely threw everything at him, and Warrington swallowed it all up. Now, the byproduct of that, I've experienced it more often than not. No matter how hard you try, you play badly the following weekend. You're just so uncharacteristic as to how you'd been building towards the next game. And potentially, it's because there's so much riding on the game. It's purely down to being a psychological thing. I'm actually, before I even get to Ross and Elliot, I'm going to back Cass here. And this is at Warrington as well. So just for that fact alone, whether or not they can be more professional than what we were, maybe that's all it was. We just weren't professional enough. But what do you guys think? How do you think that game's going to go?
It'd be interesting, though. Like you said, it can happen. It's happened to us this season when we've had, you know, an awesome game against like a top four team, and then, you know, we go the next week and we play badly. So that is
what is it?
I don't know what it is, but that is a thing that happens.
And it's like a virus, isn't it?
I think if it is QLT and Jake Truman and Harsh, you know, that's exciting for me, you know, because if they play direct and run at them instead of looking at a ball play off the line.
Look, I think Jake Truman's a half, but I'm not convinced QLT.
I don't think it could be a running half like Mini. You know, Mini kills it when he plays half.
Try scoring machine.
No, I'm quite excited actually to see Q play into a league. Well, I played with him at Sheffield for a year, and I put him up there in one of the top three most skillful players I've ever played with. Some of the stuff he does is unbelievable. So I think, like you say, just get the ball in his hands and he makes stuff happen. I watched him at the Summer Bash for Halifax. I think he set 2 or 3 tries up. He's a class player, and I just hope he plays really well and hope it goes well. And I'm back Cass. I hope he gets the win for Cass.
I'm amazed nobody ever took a punt on this guy before now. When
Sheffield, they did, if you remember, they did, didn't they? But they had visa problems.
When Sheffield were winning the championship and they were the best team in the champ, he was such a big part of that. He's 33 now. It might have come a little bit too late for him. I hope it hasn't. If he was going to fit into one team with the way he plays, it was going to be Castleford. So yeah, I'm excited to see what he does.
Okay, another interesting one. Leeds Rhinos at home to Huddersfield Giants. For me, it's an interesting one, purely and simply because the Giants always play well against the Rhinos.
And they can't be any worse than they were last week because they were abysmal.
They were abysmal. You know, especially when you're playing in front of the new coach and it's his first job, the first game out.
There's no Brough as well, which ordinarily or in recent years would have been a blow. But these days, I'm more intrigued to see how they cope without him. I think they're better placed to go without him. Turner's a good player, Rankin's a good player. They're putting a kid in called Ollie Russell, who they really rate from the academy at scrum half. So, yeah, they always go well at Leeds. Leeds are struggling, they're wobbling with injuries. So it wouldn't be impossible to imagine a Giants win.
Okay, the biggest game of the weekend. It's got to be Bulls at home to North Wales.
Yep.
Even Aaron's coming along with his family.
Oh, I'll have to put a show on for him.
Bring him a banner for the boys.
Return of the Jokies.
Is it the game back?
And Greg, McNally
as well. You're all back.
But yeah, I'm
fighting just, over positions again.
Minnie's not playing half back. Love it.
Buzzing. Yeah. No.
So what are you playing this week?
Have you chosen yourself?
Well, you're running out of options, though, aren't you? You're not going to play centre. You're not going to play.
I think I might get a run on the wing after that try last week. So just see what John comes up with. But no, really excited to be back with Jokies.
Basically, you've not been chosen yet, have you? And you're running, and you don't want to do that. You don't.
I've been practicing with kickers and catching.
You know,
like that.
John Kears listens to the show weekly. I think he's just listening to see what he sprayed pelts.
I mean, he always sprays me, doesn't he? So, you know, it's a love hate relationship. Still puts me inside, so I'm still happy about that.
Yeah, that's right. Got to be put in the side. But good to have those guys training back in the squad again.
Oh, yeah, it's good to have
them
back in
the squad. Do you think it'll give you the sort of energy to carry on with the job and get back to winning ways?
Organisation wise, I've said, you know, Keezy, the way he organises is phenomenal. You know, like when him and Chiz is the flair player and Keezy's the organiser, and when we've got these two back, I think we're gonna start hitting
strong kicking
again.
Game as well as Keezy,
yeah,
hasn't
very
he?
Strong, yeah.
So I mean, you guys obviously out on top on your own. You want to keep putting that pressure on, keep the points difference going for and against?
Yeah, of course. It's going to be tough. The North Wales went up to Whitehaven and won not so long ago. And we saw last week what the York score. So, it's going to be a tough game. Obviously, said all year we're going to respect them, but obviously we want to get the win and hopefully we get a big crowd on Saturday at Oddsall.
I'm coming up to the game as well. I'm actually hosting the hospitality, so there's still opportunities for people to buy tickets, come along and say hello.
Plug.
All right. Thank you very much for wherever you are. Thank you very much for the guys being on the show. We love you. We'll be back this time next week.
Listen back to today's show and all previous Robbie Hunter Paul shows at pulse2.co.uk. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 2.